welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
And welcome into Coast to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
And welcome back is the word to say this morning as we are back from spring break, back and ready to go for the rest of the 6 weeks of this semester here at Mizzou. Xander, how are you feeling? How was your spring break?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, it was a good one. Spent some time with the family, got to go back with, got to meet some friends again. You know, I won't be seeing for another month, so it was very relaxing. Got to go to some Padres games and just enjoying the San Diego life.
Hey, there you go. And my spring break was full of, I was working, did some yard work, hanging around the house with the family, but got some good rest in, ready to go, ready to get back to it. I'm glad to be back here, and I'm glad to be back on the air. Keep working with Coast to Coast. I think after our first break here, we'll go live on Instagram for a little bit just to try that out.
I like that.
But we'll give you the rundown today. We'll talk women's college basketball first. We had two big games last night, two fun games to watch. If you did, Xander, you watch any of them?
Oh yeah. Well, to be fair, I kind of watched
the first one. Okay.
I think almost the entire country watched the first one.
Yeah.
And then like the second one happened, and I just kind of kept going and following it up, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'll talk more on the second one because there's a lot more to look at it than you would think off of just initial glance. And there's one player who's one of the best freshmen in the country that you're going to see for the next 3 years, that you're going to want to know her name and you're going to want to know who she is because she's going to be good. So we'll do that. We'll preview the Final Four. We'll give you our Final Four prediction of who we think will win. We'll do men's college basketball. Same thing, kind of just recap, give a Final Four preview and a prediction of who will win the national championship. Briefly go over two little updates for the NFL regarding the Chiefs. We'll do some Major League Baseball. We've got a lot to talk about for baseball today. Some weird things are going on in the league.
Including something pretty big, actually, that just happened yesterday. So
exactly. We'll get into all of that. We'll talk about the opening weekend and then everything that happened last night. We'll talk about the UFL. It was opening weekend for the UFL. and we had a record-breaking kick. We'll discuss, and then we'll end our show today talking about some Mizzou sports as we get ready for a great full day of sports. Xander, you know what today is?
Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday, but it's not just Tuesday. Today begins Sports Mania.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Sports Mania is today, ladies and gentlemen. KCOU Sports, our little fundraising event. So you got 24-hour coverage of sports starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon, going all through the night. Xander, are you on any of the games today?
No.
Okay. So Xander and I are not on the air tonight, but we will be all over it tomorrow. I know that Xander and I are on the air tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Central Time. So if you are up and want to listen in, we will be on the air. We actually do not have our show picked out of what we're going to do tomorrow. So if you want to find out, you should follow our Instagram at Coast to Coast KCOU on Instagram. Other than that, we'll see what happens. I know we'll be on air at 6 a.m. For an hour, and then I will be back on the air doing two pregame shows back-to-back. I'll do the baseball game in Studio C, and then I'll have to jump right over to Studio A to do the softball pregame and postgame show for Sports Mania. So that'll be fun. I'm excited for that, and, It's great to be back. That's all I can tell you.
I mean, I definitely agree. It's great to be back here, and such a great event KCOU is doing here. Highly recommend to tune in. There every hour after 2 o'clock, starting at 2 o'clock, there will be non-stop sports talk, and just a great way to promote KCOU. So listen in when you can, even if it's 3 a.m.
Go ahead and exactly. Listen in. So yeah, we have a whole schedule lined up. By the end of the show, we'll go over the schedule and I'll let you know who's on at what times and what you can listen to if you do want to listen into that. So yeah, but all right, Xander, here we go.
Last time you were here, it was like the first round.
I know.
And it's been 2 weeks now, and Final Four is already coming up.
Yeah, and that's crazy of how quick the turnaround is for the tournament.
We
left on the start, one of the starting days of the first four. Now we're talking Final Four. I did some talking with a college basketball player yesterday.
Ah, really?
And I got their thoughts on some things.
Okay.
But we'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to talk women's college basketball. The whole world was watching last night. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the national championship rematch, Iowa-LSU in the Elite Eight. Winner would go to the Final Four. That game ended in... Honestly, I thought it ended in a way I didn't think it originally would. It ended in a bigger blowout than I thought it would be. But... You know, Caitlin Clark did Caitlin Clark things.
Yep, just ridiculous. I think LSU going into that game knew that she was going to make the most insane shots of all time, and basically that's what she did. I mean, she was literally pulling up either like, you know, Trey, do you play some 2K?
I do play 2K.
So basically, Caitlin Clark was like 80% contested. Mm-hmm. And she made every single shot, almost it felt like.
Oh, yeah.
And ridiculous. I think there was one time she basically almost pulled up from half court and almost made it and went off the back iron. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, so we'll start with NC State. That was an interesting game. They ended up routing Texas A&M. Not A&M, just Texas. So, Isaiah James, the most outstanding player on the court for NC State, ended up routing Texas and taking the Wolfpack to the Final Four. This is their first trip to the women's Final Four in more than 25 years.
And wow.
They had a 10-point win over Texas in the Portland Regional. And then... With this win, NC State became the first team to make the Final Four after being unranked in the AP preseason poll since Washington did it in 2015-2016. So here's the deal, though, for NC State. They got to play another number one seed when they get to if they want to go to the national championship. They got to go play South Carolina.
Ooh.
You see, South Carolina, they won their game against Oregon State 70-58 to advance to their fourth consecutive women's Final Four. They're now 36-0 heading into their next game. Camila Cardoso, one of the best players in the country. She's got the height, 6'8 center for South Carolina. Announces she's going to the WNBA draft, so no matter what happens for the Gamecocks, Cardoso is going to be just fine. I did pick the Gamecocks to win the national championship. We'll see if that stays the way, because I'm going to tell you this fact that's got to scare you a little bit if you're the Gamecocks. You got to think about this a little bit. NC State is 5-0 against AP top five teams this season. They're 5-0, and they won by double digits in all five games. So what that tells me is if you don't come to play, NC State will punch you in the mouth and they will beat you.
I mean, and it's basically the narrative for the Final Four almost. no matter who you're playing, it almost feels like, I mean, and it's basically, I mean, I would assume South Carolina would have the same mindset they've had pretty much all tournament, which is to, like, not let up. I mean, you can't really do that, not here in the Final Four, especially they're trying to win it all. So, yeah, I mean, you're always gonna know that you're, this is a Final Four team, and it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, they have to. The Gamecocks have to make sure they don't take their foot off the gas pedal.
Exactly.
Because they played Sweet 16. They only won by 4 points. They were up by 22, and then they let Indiana battle all the way back. And that's one thing you can't do, because if you let NC State battle back, they will burn you. So if Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks want to be raising the title at the end of, I think it's Sunday night, might be.
I don't fully
I will find
remember,
that out. But
all I know is Final point. Four is this upcoming weekend for both.
Correct. So we will figure all that out. We'll move on now to the next game, and this was the headlines for last night, the two games from last night. We'll start with Iowa and LSU. Iowa won 94-87, high-scoring game. Caitlin Clark, 41, dominating. They kept trying to guard her. LSU could do nothing.
Nope.
They couldn't do a thing. Angel Reese ended up hurting her ankle a little bit. She rolled her ankle running into a camera, and she was fighting through it. Later in the post game, she'd go off and say how she was tough, and she's not going to let that define the reason why they lost the game, which I respect that. Haley Van Leith did not show up to play. She couldn't hit the broadside of a barn last night. She kept throwing up shots, and it was not hitting. Flaujie Johnson played well, but not enough. That was the biggest issue. I mean, you had 17 from Reese. Flaujie had the most points. She had 23. So, I mean, you know, there were good moments from that game for LSU. They just, when you go up against Caitlin Clark and she finds it, like, that was a thing. Before last night, Iowa had not found their touch yet. At least Caitlin
exactly.
Clark had not. She was there. She was contributing. She was playing well. But she was not dropping 35, 40 points like she was in the regular season where she had her touch. Last night, she found her touch, and she scored 41. So, you got to be a little frightful of that as well. Clark is getting hot at the very right time. I mean, 40 points, 12 assists. You know, she didn't shoot very well from three. She started off very well from three. But, you know, if she keeps playing like that and her teammates can back her up, I mean, typically in a regular season game for Iowa, it was Caitlin Clark with 40, and then you got a bunch of her other teammates scoring 8, 10, 12. Well, last night you had another one of her teammates scoring 20, and then another one of her teammates get over 10 points, had 16. So if her teammates can do that throughout the rest of the games, the next two games, if they can win these next two games, they're going to be totally fine. And Iowa's going to win this whole thing.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. Caitlin Clark, I believe in the last, I think, was it five games? Hasn't she scored more than like 30 points?
I believe so.
That first of all, just thinking about that for a second, that's an absolutely like game stat line right there.
Oh yeah,
that is crazy. And when Caitlin Clark scores 40 points, you have to assume that they win that game.
100%.
And I mean, and they did, and they completely performed like mm-hmm. I thought they were. And, you know, one thing I thought was the problem with Iowa is they didn't have enough to contribute, because it was basically, in my opinion, I thought a few games this year was kind of just the Caitlin Clark show, and the rest of the team was kind of just there.
No, exactly, and that was the thing, you know. To me, and the thing you'll have to make sure you watch out for, so let's say that South Carolina ends up going to the national championship. Let's say they beat NC State, and let's say that Iowa beats UConn. Okay, so let's say it's USC or U of SC and Iowa in the national championship. The biggest concern that I have is the same concern that I had going into the game last night against LSU. I still have it, but it's times 10 now because I know what's coming. The issue that I have and the issue that I raise is that Iowa does not have size inside the paint. They're not big. They're a small, quick team that can shoot. That's Iowa. South Carolina, they can shoot, but they got the bigs inside. Cardoso, like I keep telling you about, Camila Cardoso is 6'8" center who can control the boards no matter what. If she's controlling the boards and her other teammates are scoring, that's game over. So you have to wonder if Iowa is going to be able to get inside and control the paint, and that's the issue. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're hitting from three and they can't guard you, it doesn't matter if you can control the paint or not because you're hitting from three. But if they lock you up on defense on three, if they can stop Caitlin Clark, which no one has been able to so far, but we'll see if they can do it. But if they do, it's going to be the battle inside the paint is going to be what's going to decide that game if they play each other. So we'll do some post-game interviews real quick. I want to go to LSU first because those were some interesting interviews. We heard Flauje Johnson was who we're going to listen to first, and this is her talking about Angel Reese as a leader. I thought they were very interesting comments, but we'll see what we have to say, and then I'll talk about it in a second.
Bro, let me tell you something. Everybody can have their opinion on Angel Reese, but y'all don't know her. Like, y'all don't know Angel Reese. I know Angel Reese. I know the real Angel Reese. And the person I see every day is a strong person. Is a caring, loving person, bro. The crown she wears is heavy, bro. She's the type of teammate that's going to make you believe in yourself. The leap that I took from my freshman to sophomore year, Angel gave me that confidence to go be a dog. Playing next to a dog every day. And, you know, just to see how the media ridicule her. Went through our problems, but, like, this is my sister right here. And I'm so proud of her. Like, the media, y'all, how they like to twist and call it a villain and all of that, y'all don't know Angel, bro. And I'm just happy that I get to play with her. I get to be around her presence. Her energy is different. Like, she just made me a better player. She made me a better player, and that's what great players do.
So that was Flauje on Angel Reese. You know, the whole thing that's gone on over the past few days, you know, Kim Mulkey and the LA Times coming out of the whole talking about players' weight, not being particularly fair and nice to players who are gay and all that type of players. And then you've got Angel Reese emails with Kim Mulkey, and you know, everyone, I mean, there's been a lot of people attacking Angel Reese, and that's not fair to her. And I will say that it is not fair to her that she's not what everyone's making her out to be. She's a basketball player. That's what she is. She had some mental issues that she needed to step away from the team earlier this year. That's okay. That happens. It's not a problem. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about here. And I guess I'm being the one to defend Angel Reese here. But, I mean, it's not a problem. And I think the sports world has to learn that. They've learned that in football. With Dak Prescott and all these guys talking about mental health, it's not a problem in football. It needs to become not a problem in all sports.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the media like to attack people, and let's be real, they were attacking her ever since the last season, and everyone on social media was calling her a dirty player, and, you know, oh, look at that, she did the you can't see me thing in front of Caitlin Clark's face, and everyone's, oh, look at how, like, you know, they made her out to be a villain, basically. And that's
the sad part about our industry sometimes is how people really like to twist things just for a story.
And I bet you Flauje Johnson is actually right about her. I mean, I bet you if I were to meet her in person, I bet you she'd probably be like,
hey, I'd love to play for her.
I'd play for her.
I would play for her.
I mean,
it'd be something. Quickly, we'll go to Angel Reese's comments. This is her basically firing back. This is her responding to Flau J. Just to note, to kind of give you a little background background information, Haley Van Leith also responded directly right after that, and basically just talked about how Angel is one heck of a teammate, how she's awesome, how she's great to play with, how she's a great leader. And so this is Angel Reese basically talking, responding to how her teammates defended her and talking back to some of the hate that she has gotten.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore and I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want them to always just know, like, I'm still a human, like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, no, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
So Angel Reese with some definitely words of wisdom to any of the little girls watching her and looking up to her and just people in general. And, you know, she will always be the Bayou Barbie, who was a beast. She says she doesn't know, that she is not going to make her decision. She will make her decision on whether she's going to go to the WNBA or not when she is ready. I expect her to make a decision within the next 48 hours. She does go to the WNBA. I expect her to get drafted pretty high. I know Cardoso is the lottery pick. Caitlin Clark's going to go one.
Caitlin Clark's going to go one.
Cardoso will go two, and then Reese will go three if she gets picked, I would assume. But I got to see the draft pool and everything once that comes out after the tournament's over. So I'll be definitely watching for that. But nonetheless, Angel Reese definitely will forever be remembered as an LSU Tiger. Great things for her. And I know, at least from me, and I would assume from you as well, we just hope the best for Angel Reese. And
yeah,
I know this is something that shouldn't be having to be said, but, you know, it's how the world is now. So,
you know, one quick thing I want to say, and it was something that's very crucial in that last interview, was she said after the national championship she hasn't been happy. And it just really, you know, makes you realize, like, the mental health struggles some of these athletes go through. I mean, it's a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh yeah.
And it's a long season, and I can completely understand why in the beginning of the season she stepped out for a few games.
Yeah.
I think she really needed it. So obviously mental health is priority number one over the game, but that stuck out to me in that interview. So you know, I just hope the best for her, you know, moving on.
Exactly. So we will move to Caitlin Clark's interview after the game. This is what it means for Iowa to be in the Final Four.
Yeah, like you said, I feel like, you know, it's amazing to be back in the Final Four. It's so hard to get there, especially with this region and how loaded this region was. But, you know, we told ourselves we're the one seed for a reason. You know, we've earned this. We deserve to be in these moments. We're prepared for these moments. But I think we came out here and, you know, our second and third quarters, we played really, really good basketball. And LSU is a really good team. They're hard to guard. They're such good one-on-one players. You know, they break you down. They make tough shots. They killed us on the glass. But we were just resilient. You know, we never hung our head when things didn't go our way. And You know, that can get you a long way. And, you know, I'm just proud of this group to go back to the Final Four. And, you know, you enjoy this and then you get to Cleveland and you start prepping for your next game. You know, we want to win two more. And, you know, I think we have the power to do that.
I know the whole country is rooting for Caitlin Clark to win two more games. I can tell you that much. Now, they played a great game last night, and that was something I definitely loved watching. I know a lot of us are excited to see how well Caitlin Clark can, if she can continue to play as well as she has all season, going forward in the next two games. The next quote here from Clark is just her responding to the question of, beating LSU, was revenge on the mind? Was the revenge of getting back at LSU from beating them in the national championship last year? Was it on Caitlin Clark's mind?
To be honest, no. I feel like we prepare for this game. We focus on Iowa. We do what Iowa does, and we'll come out on top. And that was kind of Coach Bluder's message. It's not about last year. You worry too much about the past. You know, you're going to get caught up in that. It's about being present, being where your feet are. Don't worry about being in the Final Four, being in this moment, being in the Elite Eight. You know, enjoy that and soak that in. And, you know, that's what's going to allow you to win 40 minutes. And that's exactly what we did. And, you know, I thought we just played a really good basketball game. When they went on their runs, we always had an answer. And that's all you can ask of your team.
And, you know, she says no because, you know, you have to say no. I think it was a little bit.
They're probably,
a little bit.
It had to be somewhere in the back of their minds of what happened last season. But, you know, I feel like the typical response. I had a feeling she was going to say. Mm-hmm. And it was, more of a response of, no, just go in and take care of business.
Exactly. All right, man. UConn, USC. I told you that there was a person's name you're going to want to remember for a long time. You've got 3 years of this girl named Juju Watkins. Juju Watkins, freshman this year. She scored the most points by a freshman in Division I history. She is number one. She scored 920 points this year, passing San Diego State Aztec legend Tina Hutchinson. Record, from 1983 to 84, 898. So she is now, Juju Watkins is now the leader. Last night she scored 29. It wasn't enough, but because you know why it wasn't enough? Because Paige Peckers and the Huskies are that good.
Yep, they
Paige UConn, Peckers.
UConn went on another run like they usually do with their women's team. How many times have they made the Final Four now?
It's 23. They won last night to make it 23 times all time that UConn women have been to the Final Four.
That's just pure dominance right there. And
it really is.
I mean, and you know we'll get to this later, but both UConn teams are thriving right now. So
they sure are. Beckers had a double double. Aaliyah Edwards, her teammate, also had 24. So the duo of Aaliyah Edwards and Paige Beckers definitely beat up on USC. So that was, you know, that was the big story there. The story for USC was Forbes and Watkins trying to take down this storied program of UConn. It wasn't enough for them. I know USC will be back. They were a number one seed for a reason. They've got the players. They've got the talent. So we'll see what happens next year. I definitely can see USC being back in this tournament and being back to the Final Four. National championship favorites, possibly. Beckers is coming back for UConn, so I would assume UConn's going to be pretty good. But we will get into more of the we'll talk more about UConn and give more of our updates on previews for the Final Four when we get back from break. We're going to pause for station identification and a quick break, and then we will come right back to it. So stick with us for Coast to Coast. Yes. We'll be right back.
deep in your eyes. I touch on you more and more every time. When you leave, I'm begging you not to go. Call your name 2-3 times in a row. Such a funny thing for me to try to explain. How I'm feeling and my pride is the one to blame. Cause I know I don't understand just how your love can do it, no one else can.
And welcome back to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, my name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
And you are listening to KCOU 88.1 FM, and this is Coast to Coast in the morning. I looked at Sportsmania real quick just to make sure that I had the right schedule. So it'll start tonight at 7 o'clock tonight. So you get Coast to Coast tonight at, Coast to Coast at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. It starts at 7, I believe, with the baseball game tonight. Mizzou versus UT Martin baseball. Jacob Siciliano and Mickey Doolittle will be on the call tonight for that game. Then mixed doubles at 10, Salute Your Sports at 11, Chatting Average at midnight, Free Ballin' with Noah Chen at 1, NBA on the 66 with Austin Thomas at 2, Ranked with Seth Koons, Thomas Campbell, Ben Hearns at 3 a.m., Ranked Hour 2. So they're going 2 hours for Ranked. So they'll go at 3 and 4 a.m. Kudos to them. I'm not getting up that early.
Nope.
Wake and Blake at 5 a.m. Coast to Coast, we're going to be up at 6 a.m. for our show. At 7 a.m., you've got Packed House, which is Grant Salzman, Aiden O'Connor, and Mickey Doolittle. 8 a.m. is Flipside, Nate Salzman, and Grace Anger. 9 a.m., Rush Hour is going to have special guests. We'll have some alumni from KCOU come on and do some interviews on that. 10 a.m., Double T's. 11 a.m., Marathon to March. 12 p.m., you get the Diamond Dogs, Adam Buzek, Wyatt Nunn, and Wendell Shepherd. You've got 1 p.m. The Corner Kick, 2 p.m. The Blake and Jake Show, 3 o'clock Trench Talk, 4 p.m. you've got the Mizzou versus SEMO softball game, and then 6:30 you've got the Mizzou versus SEMO softball game 2. So doubleheader.
Schedule change. It's only going to be the one softball game starting at 4.
At 4. Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you go then, folks. You have one game, and we'll be done after that. I guess we got some free time then after for a little bit extra coast, maybe a little extra coast to coast if we felt like it.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see what's going on tomorrow. We'll let you all know, of course. But quickly, we'll get right back into what we were talking about. We're going to listen to Juju Watt. Well, actually, we'll listen to Paige Beckers first. Excuse me. We'll listen to Paige Beckers first and her post-game comments. This is Beckers basically giving some advice to Juju Watkins moving forward, because Beckers has been in the same situation that Watkins is in right now. And so this is Beckers' advice to Watkins moving forward.
Success is a process. It's tough, especially as a freshman, to be leading your team like that. And have no experience in this sort of environment on this stage, and lead your team, you feel a lot of pressure. But for her to have the year she had as a freshman, fearless, confident, one of the best players in the country, she's got a lot to build on. And I know getting here and feeling this loss, we've been a part of it. It's very motivating, and it lets you build experience on how to be better and how to learn from it. And so just take the good, continue to build on that, and focus on what you need to work on and do that too.
And so that was Becker's post game talking about just some advice to give to Juju Watkins moving forward. Next one is Watkins on, this is Watkins post game on what she can take away and apply to her future career.
Yeah, I mean, I think just coming up short, I think that adds a lot of fuel to the fire for the next couple of years. I'm just excited to go back home and get in the gym now, and I'm really focused on learning from this season as a whole and things I can improve on, definitely my efficiency and stuff like that. But I'm just grateful for this year because I've learned a lot. So.
And then I will quickly move to Mackenzie Forbes, her teammate who led USC in scoring. What excites her the most? Forbes will be done after this year. This is Forbes' last season with the Trojans, I believe. But this is what Forbes believes, what excites her the most for the future with Juju Watkins leading the way.
Yeah, I mean, I told her on the way here, like, you know, these people got to deal with you for 3 more years. And if I was a coach, that would be my worst nightmare. So I think just really excited to see her grow. She has as incredible as she is, like, it's scary because she can still get so much better. But I think more than how good she is, like Coach G kind of alluded to, like, it's really rare that you get a superstar that can come in. She's selfless. She's mature. She's a winner. She only cares about winning.
So that was Forbes, and we will move on from there. We will quickly go. So UConn won 80-73 over USC. And so that was their little post-game press conferences. We will quickly, Xander, I want your predictions now. NC State, 3 seed, playing South Carolina, 1 seed on, I believe the 5th is Friday, so Friday night at 6 p.m., and then 3 seed UConn playing 1 seed Iowa, 8 p.m. on Friday night. Xander, who do you think is going to win each game, and then who's going to be national champion?
So currently what I got for my Final Four as of right now, I'm going to go South Carolina and Iowa.
Okay.
And as much as I think some people probably want South Carolina to win because of their undefeated season, I'm sorry, I got to go Iowa. I mean, in my opinion, I thought they were going to win it all last year, and they just missed out. So I think that this is their year to prove that this year they're the national champions.
I can definitely know exactly what you're talking about. I see. I'm going to go Iowa beating UConn, even though I think that'll be a very close game. I think the South Carolina NC State game will also be extremely close, but I agree with you. It's going to be Iowa raising the title. I'm going to change my pick, even though I love my South Carolina team. I've watched them all year. I think their scare with Indiana showed that they are beatable. And Iowa would be the team to do it if there's going to be a team to beat them. We'll jump to the men's Final Four now. This has been an interesting tournament, to say the least. NC State is the first team to make the Final Four. They beat Duke. This is their first Final Four trip since 1983 when Jimmy V was their coach, and they won the national title. They won 76-64 over Duke. Xander, the whole world's talking about DJ Burns from NC State. What are we thinking about DJ Burns? Do you think, and this is basically a two-headed question, because it's what you think about him. And then leading into the next thing, Purdue beat, would they be Illinois?
Yes.
No, they beat Tennessee.
No, Tennessee.
They beat Tennessee 72-66, and Zach Edey scored 40. Can DJ Burns slow down Zach Edey at all? Do you think he can?
I'm going to say I hope so. Because right. In one of my brackets, I have NC State winning it all.
Well, there you go.
Which is crazy. And first of all, how crazy is it that we have an 11-seed team playing in the Final Four this year?
They've won 9 games in over 12 days.
And if not that shot for – not that – buzzer beater shot versus Virginia in that tournament, the ACC tournament, who knows what could have happened. I mean, this team probably wouldn't have gone on the run. They would have missed out on March Madness, and we would not have got to see this 9-game win streak run. It's almost reminiscent of what San Diego State kind of did last year.
Yeah.
They had a path, and NC State had a path this year as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Duke was, in my opinion, you look at who they played so far. And I feel like Duke was for sure probably up there with like a really credible team that plays very well as a 4 seed. So I think, and don't get me wrong, I think NC State's a good team. And I think DJ Burns is kind of him right now. He's playing out of his out of his mind.
Yeah, I mean, he scored 29 against Duke the other night, so that was huge for them. Just for time's sake, we'll quickly move on. Bama, they found it. I'll tell you, when we looked at this SEC tournament bracket, and you said if you had to look for the NCAA tournament, March Madness, if you had to pick an SEC team to go to the Final Four, everyone said Tennessee. No one said Bama. No one said Nate Oates and Alabama can make it, and yet they did it. They beat Clemson to go to their very first Final Four. They won 89-82. It was a close game the entire game. Then they pulled away at the end. They got a lot of momentum. I don't think they can win their next game whatsoever.
I think the momentum is going to stop.
almost instantly. And the reason, Xander, and I say that, Bama is going to have to go play the defending national champions. UConn beat Illinois by 25. It was 20, I believe. Yeah, it was 23-23 with a minute 49 left until halftime. 8 minutes after that, so the minute 49 going into half, and then the, what, six-something minutes left?
Yep.
UConn goes up by 30. So
30-0 run.
It was the largest UConn run since Dan Hurley took over as coach in 2018 for UConn. So, you know, UConn is definitely hitting on all of their marks right now. Donovan Klingon, the 7-2 center, was beasting and feasting all over the court. That was their this was UConn's third 25-point win. So, you know, I got somewhat a little faith in Alabama, but I don't think they're gonna do it. I do think this is gonna end up being a battle of number one seeds in the national championship. Give me Purdue, give me UConn, and give me UConn to repeat. What's your prediction, Xander?
I think I'm going to play it safe. I'm not going to go NC State. As much as I hate to see Zach Edey and the Foul Merchant move on to the national championship, I think it'll be we're going to get a Purdue UConn matchup, and I think UConn will win.
There you go. All right. So that is our pick. So we say UConn's going to win the national title. And for the men, and then Iowa will win for the women. That is what we believe. That's what we're thinking. I know your bracket would like it if UConn wins.
Yes, I think if UConn were to win, I might have some sort of fighting chance to maybe. Well,
I think Aiden's winning right now.
Is he? I think
My dad's
winning. Your dad's winning.
Yeah, my dad is winning.
I think
winning
I'm in
right
third
now.
Right now.
Yeah, I'm in fourth. Maggie's in fifth. So, you know.
Your finals pick is out, so I mean.
Well, I did pick Arizona. So and they did get bounced. Quickly, for the NFL, we had two things I wanted to mention real quick. The first thing was that the Chiefs signed a backup that they should hope never plays. They should pray to God that Patrick Mahomes never gets hurt ever again, because the Chiefs have signed Carson Wentz to be the backup for Patrick Mahomes.
What is kind of the thinking going on there, guys?
Well,
I mean,
they have what? Blaine Gabbert was the backup.
It's not like they really had
an improvement, but
it's barely.
It Chad Henne.
They did have Chad before he retired, so
Chad
I mean,
Henne was the best backup for the Chiefs, guaranteed. I'm still mad he beat me on a run, but you know it's okay. I get it. That was big for him. The other thing I wanted to mention real quick is that the whole issue with Rashee Rice and the authorities in Dallas, Rashee Rice is cooperating with authorities trying to get everything going there. I don't believe he will receive a suspension for anything. He might receive a fine or something, but I believe he'll be all right. The reason they're talking to him all about this is because a car that was leased to him or that he owned was involved in a multi-car crash in Dallas.
Yeah, I saw the video for it. It looked pretty bad.
Yeah, so They're just trying to, because the driver, so a Corvette and a Lamborghini were speeding and they lost control and just hit a bunch of guys. So, you know, just Rice has to make sure that he cooperates. And so we'll see what happens. We hear anything else about Rashee Rice by tomorrow morning, we'll definitely be able to report it on our show tomorrow morning. But for now, all we can tell you is that he's cooperating with the authorities and he's not, and they're not looking a manhunt style for him anymore. So that is good for the Chiefs fans. All right, Xander, we get to talk baseball now. All right, here we go. What we'll do, this is how we'll do our baseball segment. We'll talk Cardinals and Royals briefly, basically break down their opening weekend series. We'll look at some takeaways from the opening weekend, and we'll talk about last night, what happened, and then we'll get into the rest of our show. So we'll go to the Cardinals first. You know, they won one game of the four-game series against the Dodgers.
That they almost blew.
They did almost blow that. So here's the thing. There's a trend going for the Cardinals right now if you look at it. The first game, they only scored one run. Game two, they scored three. Game one and two, they lost. They scored four runs in two games, and they lost. By game three, they'd scored a total of 10 runs. They scored six, and they won. Game four, they scored four. So they scored 14 runs over 4 days. And they lost the series 1-3. The thing that I'm noticing, and you can notice this too, because it happened last night against your Padres as well.
You really have to bring.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah, I knew it.
You knew it was coming.
Ugh, that was a rough game.
The Cardinals score six runs or more, they're gonna win. They score less, they're gonna lose. They scored six runs last night, and they beat your Padres.
Mm-hmm.
So the two wins they have on this entire season, they have six runs exactly.
That's actually a very interesting trend, and these are kind of the trends you need to look at this season. And it's plain and simple. I mean, if you don't score many runs, you're probably not going to win. No. And that's just how baseball is nowadays.
If you can't swing the bat, then you're not going to do anything. I mean, the Guardians should know that.
Unless you have someone like what am I thinking here? Unless you have someone like a prime Clayton Kershaw or a prime Max Scherzer or someone on the mound where you know he's going to absolutely deal,
mm-hmm.
then you don't maybe not necessarily have to really worry about scoring more than, you know, six runs. But here's the thing with the Cardinals is they're in a very big pitching dilemma right now, and I think they're trying to figure out their identity and their bullpen.
It
was not a great showing last weekend, and they can't have that continue during the rest of the season, or else they probably, in my opinion, are going to finish exactly where they finished last season.
Yep,
which was last place.
Probably. They have an interesting division. I mean, they one of their division opponents is undefeated still, which I don't think will last very long. But they're playing great baseball.
I mean, it won't.
Right now.
But
oh, of course. Well, but
I mean, you never know with these undefeated seasons.
Have a tougher division. The Padres have a tougher division than the Cardinals.
We do, but I mean, I think that the NL Central is going to get pretty tough. But yeah.
Anyway,
moving on.
Just to recap of everything, last night Cardinals did end up winning their second game of the year. They're 2-3 now on the road. They have yet to play a home game. Their home series begins on Thursday against the Marlins. So that'll be something. I know Xander and I are thinking about trying to go over. I know you think you're going to the Royals this weekend?
I think I'm going to go watch the Royals and White Sox on Friday.
I might go see the Marlins. I'm not sure yet. Cardinals, Marlins. I might come to the Royals as well. I just got to see what's going on during the day.
It's the opening series, and it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, 6-2 was the game last night. Cardinals won their second game. Padres dropped a 3-4 on the year, 2-4 at home. Miles Michaelis will face Yu Darvish tonight in their next game. You like your chances tonight?
I do. Yu Darvish is a very strong pitcher.
I was going to say, I trust Darvish on the mound more than I trust Miles Michaelis. just putting that out there, you know, I think that's a fair statement.
And he's on my fantasy team, so, you know, I kind of need him to perform almost every game.
There you go. The Royals, on the other hand, that was... The Royals played a three-game series against the Twins to open up their season. Opening day, they lost 4-1. Game two, they only scored one. They scored two runs in 2 days. But then, for some reason, they decided on the day that I show up to the game on Easter Sunday, they're going to start blasting the ball out of the park and hitting at more runs than... They scored more runs than the Twins and Royals combined over the first two games. It was an 11-0 win for the Royals for their third game. Bobby Witt fell one double shy of a cycle. I mean, it was a home run party. The Royals hit 5 home runs to avoid a sweep. But so I mean, they've got the batters there. It's just they couldn't seem to put it together whatsoever. And you know, I'm curious to know your take on it. What is causing the Royals to not do well? Because I think their team overall, if you look at their roster, I mean, they're not great, but they're not terrible. They got a mediocre team, but they got some good players there. Bobby Witt Jr.'s on the team. He's playing great. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Salvador Perez is still hanging around, and he's playing great right now. So what is going to be the main thing for the Royals if they want to continue to play well and, you know, contend in their division? Because as you know, and as well as I do, the American League Central is not the greatest division. It's pretty bad. So they have a shot if they can win, put a few games together.
You know, looking at this Royals roster and team, I got to say, they're young. They got some young guys in that lineup. And I think when you have so many young guys, I think what will hopefully help them this season is some of the veterans they have on their team. And, you know, big-time veteran Salvador Perez still hanging around there. My goodness.
Yeah, that's Maggie's favorite player on the Royals. Well, he stepped up to bat because, okay, so his first at-bat was when he hit that three-run home run to start the game. And I sat there and I was like, right before he hit that ball, I told Maggie as soon as he stepped up, I said, let's see if he's still got any young gun in him left. Let's see if he's got any of his youth still in him. Next thing you know, he's blasting a three-run shot out of the park. I'm like, all right, guess he does.
Yes, he does. He's still here.
He made me eat my words. So, you know.
I think... You know, and then they got veterans on the mound like Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, Zach Greinke's still there, I'm pretty sure. And then you got some of the young guys like Cole Raines. I mean, you look at that roster, and it really isn't actually as bad as people would think. I mean, this isn't the Rockies we're talking about.
No, it's not.
Or the White Sox.
Yeah, the White Sox.
But I think they just need to put it together. And they suffered another tough loss yesterday. But Bobby Witt's already looking fantastic, and I'm honestly excited to see him on Friday.
Yeah, I that was who I was very excited to be able to watch, and then I mean, I was really hoping he was going to hit that cycle. He was so close. He was one double away, and I was looking forward to it. But yeah, so Royals just got to continue to put together some good games here. Last night they played the Orioles and they lost 4-6. So they are 1-3. They're 0-1 on the road. Orioles are 3-1 on the home at home. It's a three-game series, so Royals play the Orioles today. 5:35 first pitch for those who choose to watch. It'll be Alec Marsh versus Cole Irwin on the mound for the Royals. So your Padres lost last night. We'll see how they do tonight. My Guardians lost last night as well. Tristan McKenzie, my boy Styx, came back. He did not have a good night. Pitched 3 innings, 4 errors, 4 hits, and only 2 strikeouts in his return to the mound after being out with injury last year. So Guardians had a bad night. They tried to come back. I mean, they lost 5-4, so they came back, but it was a little too late by the time they tried to come back. I don't want to stay on the Guardians too long because that's not,
it's
You know. So we'll go to some takeaways real quick. I wanted to talk to you about three things, three big things. I think you know what one of them is.
I think I already have a feeling.
But here we go. We'll leave the one I think you know about for last because I'm gonna make that one be last.
All right.
The first thing we'll talk about. The bad teams look really bad. So the Rockies, the White Sox, and the A's, they look really bad. Opening day, the Diamondbacks scored a record of 14 runs in the third inning against the Rockies. 14 in one inning. So Rockies are terrible right now.
Just want to say out there publicly, I don't know if he's listening, but
Buse,
I am very sorry what you have to go through almost every game.
I know, right?
But, you know, hey, at least they're consistent, and you basically know what's going to happen every game.
That's very true. You at least have that. But, no, the Sox, the A's, the Rockies, they don't look good.
No.
I mean, the White Sox lineup the other day, Kevin Pillar, Martin Maldonado, Nicky Lopez, Paul DeJean.
Kevin Pillar, by the way.
Yeah, hitting 6th through 9th. They're respected veterans, but they're not going to score runs with that.
No, let's be real. I mean, their only offense is Luis Robert.
Yeah.
And sometimes Jimenez, I guess.
Yeah, they say maybe Jimenez, a few times maybe here and there, Yoan Moncada will hit
a
bomb.
I guess. And then maybe Andrew Vaughn, possibly. But that roster, we'll say it together. This roster sucks.
Yeah, it's not good.
It is not good, and they might be legitimately one of the worst teams this year.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they got that going on.
But hey, at least they got Luis Robert.
I do want to ask you this. Actually, I'll go this first. Yeah. The A's got outscored 29-11 by the Guardians. But there's two teams I want to ask you if you would put them in this really bad spot or if you're going to give them a little bit more time before you put them in this bad bracket. The Nationals and the Marlins.
I'm going to say Nationals. I'm not putting them in my bad at all.
Okay.
They've
improved?
They improved. Again, okay. Another young team stepping up again. They have people like Lane Thomas, Joey Meneses, and the new addition to their team with Rosario. I'm sure you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen him around the league. But they got young pitching. Former Padre Mackenzie Gore still kind of dealing for them right now. I'd say that their pitching is probably their weakest part of the team. But, hey, I mean, if their offense can kind of spring out of like almost nowhere. I think with that young team, I think that they can do some things. And quickly about the Marlins, I think that it was a rough start, but I got to say, I think the Pirates were just the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that the Marlins, I'm going to give the Marlins a little bit more time.
Okay.
But if their pitching cannot get fixed here pretty soon, I'm going to have to start putting them towards the bottom. I mean, you got to start thinking that way. Jazz Chisholm cannot carry your entire team.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Second thing I wanted to bring up real quickly was the Cubs and Twins. You and I don't like the Cubs whatsoever. So those of you who are listening who like the Cubs, this is not the show to listen to you for you.
Do not tune in. We're going to have some Cubs hate.
We hate on the Cubs mostly in all of our baseball segments. But we're not going to hate them on them for this segment because I want to talk to you real quick about the injuries that have impacted the Cubs and the Twins. See, the Twins lost Royce Lewis, and then the Cubs lost Justin Steele.
That was tough, man.
Yeah.
Runner-up Cy Young, first game of the season.
Yeah.
And he's already out.
A grade one strain, trying to field a bunt. He strained his hamstring trying to field a bunt. He played catch on Saturday. Steele should be coming back
soon enough because
it's a grade one, so it's not bad. But
I'll give him a month.
I'll tell you, with them losing him, it that was hard for them.
Bless you.
Thank you. It was hard for them, for the Cubs, losing Steel, and they had Ben Brown called up to the roster, and it was his major league debut. He replaced Steel. He ended up giving up 6 runs.
Yep, so that's not a great way to be greeted to the MLB right there.
No, it's not. But, you know, I mean, the Cubs will be fine in a month or so.
Oh, they probably will. I'm just...
When
they get to their mid-season form is when they unfortunately start to hit their stride. But
yeah,
then there's always the September collapse. So.
And then you've got Royce Lewis suffering a significant quad strain while running the bases. And the Twins are apparently prepared to be without him for more than a month. He has suffered... Lewis has a history of injuries.
Oh, yeah.
He tore his ACL twice in the minors, plus oblique and hamstring injuries a rookie last year. So, you know, he has great potential as a star. He could be a huge star in baseball, but he's got to stay on the field.
It's almost like a Jacob DeGrom situation here.
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom is so good. It's just you never see him out there at all.
Yeah.
Because he's every year it's always a new injury for him.
No, exactly. And so, but I mean, there were a bunch of great things, you know, going on throughout this past weekend. I mean, you had Corbin Burnes, 11 strikeouts,
most by an
Orioles pitcher on opening day since 1998. Yamamoto rebounded after a disastrous start in Korea.
Unfortunately, but we all saw that coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did. And then, you had a bunch of cool things. Tyler O'Neill set a record, hitting a home run, 5th consecutive opening day. So
wild.
Next year, make sure you watch Tyler O'Neill.
Cardinals legend.
See if he hits another bomb. All right, Xander, it's time for me to talk about it real quick.
Oh, no.
All right. There used to be a thing where Yankees players called them true Yankees. I mean, they were that good. Your boy Juan Soto looks really good in the Yankees uniform right now.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely ridiculous what he did last weekend. And made me realize, like,
how much
why didn't he do
lost?
This last year? Where was this last year at the beginning of the season?
But it also had to make you think of realize how much you guys really lost in Juan Soto for the Padres. I know, most people do know when they lose a star like that. But I mean, I don't think, at least personally, I didn't expect Soto to play this well for the Yankees. But maybe that was just my poor judgment.
I mean, he looked good. He looked like he was gonna help out the Yankees this season, and it led to a 4-0 sweep. And they got another win yesterday, although he did not contribute much yesterday against the Diamondbacks. Still,
hey,
they still won 5-2. They're 5-0.
They are 5-0, first time since 1992. So the undefeated teams in baseball as of right now are the Detroit Tigers, the Milwaukee Brewers, the New York Yankees, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Those are your 4 undefeated teams in baseball.
The fact that I just heard Tigers are 5-0,
I know,
is I thought that was impossible.
I don't think it'll be for long, honestly.
I know it won't.
Hey, they're 4-0.
But hey, Tigers fans, enjoy the ride while you can.
Yeah, enjoy it. I mean, the NL Central has 2 undefeated teams. And then you've got the 2 in the American League, the Tigers and the Yankees. So, I mean, we all know today may be the day. Pirates are at the Nationals. They were. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they still are.
Yeah.
It's a 3-game.
Yankees at the Diamondbacks tonight. Maybe the Diamondbacks could beat them.
For our sakes. For my division. I want Yankees to win.
Look, if you're trusting, if you want the Tigers to lose, you have to put faith in the Mets.
I don't think I ever will put faith in the Mets.
Yeah, I don't think you will either. So and then if you think the Brewers are going to lose, you got to put faith in the Twins. So, which I could do. I could get behind the Twins.
I could get a little bit behind the Twins. The Brewers do look like a very solid team already this season.
Yeah, exactly. So. Pirates are off tonight. They'll play tomorrow against the Nationals. But there are two big things that happened last night. The first big thing was my boy Adolis Garcia hitting his 100th career home run. He's an absolute beast, a unit for the Rangers. And you definitely don't want to throw a ball right down the middle to Garcia.
Nope, not to him.
He will let that fly out of the park. But the big story from last night was the Blue Jays and Astros game. Ronel Blanco, first no-hitter of the year. We're what, four, 5 games in? About 4 to 5 games in, and we are...
So yesterday was actually, let's see here, it depends how many games teams play, but I think I think it's like maybe game six, game seven, maybe.
It was game five for the Astros.
Game five for the Astros, so still...
it was their first
super
win of the
early
year.
In the season. First win of the year, by the way, after getting swept by the Yankees. And what a way to get your first win of the year with a no-hitter. I'm sure they'll take that.
Yeah, his eighth career start, he throws a no-hitter. Now, I will argue this because I don't necessarily agree with baseball rules, and I this could be a hot take, I guess. You could put it as... I don't think he should have been awarded the no-hitter. He walked two batters, and I understand.
No.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying, though. I understand that he didn't hit it, but you put two guys on base. It's not a no-hitter. They're on base.
I say, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. There's a reason why there's two titles of a perfect game and a no-hitter, a perfect game. No walks, no errors, no no hits. So, I mean, I understand that the walks could be a little annoying, or hit by pitch could be annoying, but it doesn't matter. A no hitter is a no hitter, and he went all 9 innings.
All right,
that's what the rule book says.
Hey, I'll let it go. All right, quickly, Adam Schefter is reporting that J.K. Dobbins is visiting the Chiefs.
Man. Really?
So, Chiefs fans, you might be getting J.K. Dobbins, which is a great pickup if he can stay healthy, because he keeps getting hurt every year. We'll keep going with football now. The UFL opened this weekend. That was
something.
It definitely was something. Sunday's games featured Memphis Showboats beating the Houston Roughnecks 18-12. And then, you had the San Antonio Brahmas beating the DC Defenders 27-12. Those of you who used to watch Destroying on YouTube, he plays for the Brahmas. He was going to try a 57-yard kick, missed it wide right. Then they lined up the very next play and threw a touchdown pass to the center. So, you know.
Well,
that's the type of things that's going on in the UFL. There it is. The punter threw a 40-yard fourth down touchdown pass to the center in the second quarter. And then they also got an 88-yard interception, which was a pick six. The Brahmas are definitely a good team to make sure you watch out for. If you care to continue to watch UFL, I will watch UFL. I've enjoyed it so far.
I will definitely be... tuning in to a few of them, especially for St. Louis.
I know you. You love the Birmingham Stallions kicker. 27-14, Birmingham beat the Arlington Renegades. Matt Corral, the old Carolina Panther, is the quarterback for the Birmingham Stallions.
Yes,
you like the Stallions kicker. You remember his name? Chris Blewett.
Chris Blewett. One of my favorite names as a kicker, but in the wrong way.
He kicked a 54-yarder and he blew it.
He blew it, and they said it live on air, too.
Yep.
I mean, folks, the jokes don't write themselves here. They write themselves.
That was given to us.
It really was. It's unfortunate.
We'll go over to the Battle Hawks. St. Louis lost their first game, but because of Jake Bates, and that's the story. They lost 18-16. Jake Bates, the kicker for the Michigan Panthers, nailed a 64-yarder with room to go, with 3 seconds to go. Here's the thing about Jake Bates I want us all to think about, okay? I looked into this kid. Okay, he played soccer at Central Arkansas, University of Central Arkansas. He was a soccer player. Then he went to Texas State to be there. He was a special teams player, so he did kickoffs for Texas State in his sophomore year. He did kickoffs for Texas State his junior year. His senior year, he transferred to Arkansas. He never played a game. His first ever field goal attempt was that 64-yard kick. And he had ice in his veins. And Detroit Lions fans are now singing, "You can't let Jake Bates out of the building. You have to put him on the Lions now."
I mean, 64 yards. I mean, are you absolutely kidding me? Some guy who had never really played in college at all.
Oh, yeah.
Basically just went in there and he said, 64 yards. Easy.
Easy. I got this.
And I got this. And nails it.
Yeah. Quickly, we'll go now into Mizzou basketball as our time is wrapping up here on the air.
Really? You had to bring up Mizzou basketball?
Look, we're going to
bring... I thought we were done talking about this.
I know. We're going to get into all of Mizzou here. We'll actually start with baseball because that's what's current right now. I want to talk about baseball real quick. Xander, if you want to recap their little series with Vanderbilt, but baseball is starting a two-game series, which will be a six-game homestand for the Tigers. They've got UT Martin tonight and tomorrow, and then they've got Florida Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Xander, recap a little bit for when they had to go up and face a number nine Vanderbilt.
Again, hey, listen, I'll give them one thing.
What?
They kept it close.
Yep.
Two games. It was, I believe, the first game they lost 1-3. Second game they got shut out, lost 4-0. Third game they lost 1-3 again.
Let me ask you a question though. Am I seeing this right? Did baseball actually win an SEC game?
I think they won one game.
How long has it been since we won an SEC game? A year?
I mean, if you disclude, you know.
So comparing to basketball team, baseball is better. We won an SEC game. Mizzou won an SEC game. That's all that matters to me
right
now.
Truly shocking.
All right. So that's what happened. They got swept. But like we said, they play tonight to start their six-game homestand. You want to talk about softball real quick?
Yes, sir. So softball, again, actually probably our strongest spring sport right now.
I believe so, yeah.
12th, I think, right now. They're still ranked 12th in the country. Mm-hmm. While we were gone, they won 2 out of 3 against the number 2 ranked team in the country, LSU Tigers. Way to go, ladies. And then just this past week, they went on a East Coast road trip, played a total of 4 games against Fordham, Hofstra, Villanova, and George Mason, and went 4-0, 29-7. We'll be playing SEMO this Wednesday and hopefully make it 30-7. And then they'll take on Arkansas in Fayetteville this weekend.
Yeah, 15th ranked Arkansas in Fayetteville, and then they will then they'll head to Drake to play the Bulldogs after that series. So Mizzou softball definitely doing well. We'll be watching for that. I think if they were to make the softball World Series or that.
Yep.
We would try. We could maybe go. It might be fun to watch. I'll quickly note on this. Gymnastics is starting Friday night. They are starting their quest for the NCAA tournament, the Gymnastics Championship Bracket. They are in the Gainesville Regional. They're the 13th seed. They finished 5th in the SEC. So they have to go off. They're in Session 2. So they are against Florida, who's number 4, 13th Missouri, Georgia, and then whoever wins from round 1, so that's either Clemson or Iowa State is who they will face off against. So that'll be interesting to watch. You know, Jocelyn Moore is the star on Mizzou's gymnastics team, so that'll be the one, that'll be the person you want doing the best for you, of course. But yeah, that's what's going on from Mizzou. Hopefully our gymnastics ladies can continue to do well. We got to hope that they pull through. And, you know, hey, when you're in a tournament, it doesn't matter what sport you're in. You're in a tournament, you're trying to win for Mizzou. And so we're rooting for you. We're pulling for our ladies in gymnastics, and hopefully they can do something. We'll keep you updated on that next week as the tournament for them starts Friday and Saturday. Do you want to talk basketball first and then football, or do you want to? Well, actually, we'll end on basketball.
Let's just end on basketball because it'll be quick and very forgettable.
All right, they ranked the from 1 to 16 the SEC coaches. I want to know if you agree with this ranking because I think I do, but I think I don't at the same time. It's weird. I agree with number one. They say Kirby Smart's number one, and I agree with that.
Yep.
But I don't agree with number two. They say Brian Kelly's two. Which I don't think LSU and Brian Kelly is number two. I mean, I know Kevin Peoples and Blake Baker.
Traitors
left us for LSU. They got Kalen DeBoer three. I need to see DeBoer coach for Bama before I rank him that high.
I think they're only primarily ranking him that high because of what happened last season.
Yeah,
with Washington and
I mean number four, Steve Sarkisian. With Texas, I mean, I still have a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that Texas and Oklahoma are in our division now, which is great. I'm excited for it.
I mean, I'm excited for it, too, Oklahoma.
Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, five. Josh Heupel is six. Drink is seven. Over the guys that I have just said, is there any guy you rank Drink over? I could see him at five over Kiffin and Heupel.
I think I can possibly, only with Alabama right now,
yeah,
I would probably maybe rank him over DeBoer as of right now.
Right.
I mean, if we're going off of, starting his Alabama tenure here, that would be a little tough, though, because, dude literally just went to the national championship last year with Washington. So
exactly.
We'll have to see, and obviously this is where they stand now, and I feel like once the season really starts, then you can really actually make a complete list of who's really the best.
Exactly. All right, Xander, here we go.
Really?
Yeah, I got to do it.
All right, that's fine.
We make it quick. Do it. Okay. We'll start with women's basketball. Robin Pinchon is coming back. Do we like it? Do we not like it? They're retaining her. Here's the thing. I'm not necessarily a huge fan because of how they have not had very well success with her as the coach. But I think they can do something. The thing is that the amount of money that will be owed to her if they were to get rid of her, and I think that's the issue. But, But we'll see.
Well, we're just going to have to see.
We'll see what happens. All right. I hate having to talk about this team half the time.
You know that?
I hate having to do this. I've come to talk. But until they win an SEC game, this is what you have to play every time.
Yep. Non-conference doesn't count, by the way.
Exactly. I mean, well, December 30th was the last time we won. Look, if we win a game, if we win the home opener next year, we'll be excited. I'll be ringing this cowbell. We'll be having a great time in the studio.
First game.
But, all right, I want to talk about the transfer portal real quick because Coach Gates is typically really good in the transfer portal, so I want to know your thoughts on what they're going to do. So, Carrillero's leaving, which I'm okay with. I'm not too upset about that. Majok's gone. He left for Coastal Carolina.
No.
My boy Majok is gone.
One of my favorite players.
And he's now at Coastal Carolina. So here's what I want to think about. You're losing Carrillero. You've lost Majok. Vanover's gone. You've got Nick Honor gone. Sean East gone. Noah Carter gone.
Gone. Your one
returner, one of the best returners you got is Tamar Bates. That is your one returner.
But then also not to mention, you got some really great top recruits coming in.
Right.
To fill in a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. You've got Jacob Cruz coming in from UT Martin, which I'm excited to see him play. I think that'll be definitely one to talk about. And I know that Gates has reached out to quite a few players. He's reached out to Tony Perkins from Iowa. He reached out to Zeke Mayo from South Dakota State, who eliminated Mizzou from consideration. So Zeke Mayo will not be coming here. He reached out to Cameron Hunter from Central Arkansas, DJ Davis from Butler, Kylan Milton from Arkansas Pine Bluff. We got to face him earlier this year.
Oh, yeah, I do remember. I think he scored like, I'm pretty sure he got almost like.
Yeah, he played well, I thought.
He played pretty good, even though they got blown out.
So Kylan Milton from Arkansas Pine Bluff, Greg Gordon from Iona, Keyshawn Hall from George Mason, BJ Freeman from Milwaukee, Javon Porter from Pepperdine, Ansley Almanor from Fairleigh Dickinson, Amari Williams from Drexel, Terrace Reed from Michigan, Sam Alexis from Chattanooga. So, I mean, they have a bunch of players that they're going after. And then, not to mention, you got Boateng.
Yep.
Coming in. So, you know, I mean, they have potential.
There's potential next season.
There is definitely potential, and you cannot deny that. It's just the matter of...
Are they going to perform?
Right. But... You know, we'll see.
The only thing I have about them is the fact that they only have one veteran coming back next year with Tamar Bates, who will be kind of running the floor with them. And, I mean, yeah, actually, I just realized a lot of the transfers will probably be getting. Some of them will be seniors, too. So, I mean, you'll have some younger fish in the pot, and then you're going to have, you know, some guys who have been around college basketball a little bit.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for Coast to Coast for this morning. But remember, if you want to listen in to us tomorrow morning, if you can't get enough of Coast to Coast, you want more Coast to Coast, well, there's two ways you can do that. You can follow our Instagram to hear more from us, which is at Coast to Coast KCOU on Instagram. Or you can listen in to Sports Mania at 6 a.m. Central Time tomorrow morning to hear Xander and I on the mic once again. For now, until tomorrow morning, my name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
Enjoy Sports Mania, everybody.
Woo-hoo! Sports Mania.